Welcome to Sportsman of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560 with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley. Thank you so much for joining us today. 303-477-5600 is our number. If you've got any kind of topics you want to talk about, we are here to take your calls. Got a guest today. Actually, this gentleman just sent an email into our Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation committee email list, and I saw it and quickly wanted to get involved in this and see if we could help out. And then some just for our own understanding of about what some of these meetings are. And if you're on the Colorado Parks and Wildlife mailing list, email list, you'll see things where they have different meetings. And I've always wondered, boy, can anybody come too? So now we're going to find out. And Steve Hilde is our guest today. And Steve sent this email in to our Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and asked if we could get some help and some publicity for this upcoming meeting on some great topics. And so, Steve, thanks for taking a few minutes and being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
So now, and again, a brief conversation we've had before the show here. You are an elected delegate with this group of the Northeast Region Sportsman's Roundtable. Boy, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
All right, good deal. So let's start there, elected delegate. So who elects you? How long are you on this board and all that?
Colorado Parks and Wildlife has created, there's some history behind this, but currently what we have is a sportsman's roundtable, and there is a website out at Colorado Parks and Wildlife that explains that every region has elected delegates, and within the Northeast region, which goes from Denver north, there are three elected delegates, of which I am one, and there are also appointed delegates. And so within each region, we'll have 3 to 4 meetings per year. Some of them will be in the Denver metro area. Our next meeting is going to be in Larimer County. And then the group, the whole round table, which comprises, I think it's around 26 people, will have several statewide meetings annually to discuss current issues and current topics. So,
okay, great. And this meeting here, and we're going to hit this a few times because we'd love to have a good turnout. This is going to be Thursday, June 2nd from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And again, this is the Northeast Region Sportsman's Roundtable meeting, and it's going to be held at the Colorado Youth Outdoor and Swift Ponds, which is at 4927 East County Road 36 in Fort Collins. Again, that's at the Colorado Youth Outdoors and Swift Ponds at 4927 East County Road 36 in Fort Collins. And I'll give you a website here. It's got a lot in it for CPW for more information on it. But so now, when these meetings are public like this, can anybody come? Do they have to be invited, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's open to the public. I'd encourage all sportsmen to attend. And again, it provides sportsmen with an opportunity to meet with parks and wildlife officials. We should have the regional manager there. We should have many area wildlife managers, game wardens. We may have a wildlife commissioner there that you can talk to, and even potentially some local legislators who serve on the sportsman's caucus. So I encourage everybody to attend.
Right. Now, from my understanding, and again, we have Matt Robbins on our show from time to time, and here with the Denver office, and are most of the, I don't know if laws is the right word, but are most of the guidelines that are set out in the hunting done in these like 5-year increments?
Well, certainly there's that Wildlife Commission process, and, you know, I would hope through these roundtable meetings that the division or the Parks and Wildlife can get an idea of what topics are important to sportsmen, and should they need to rise above the local meeting levels, certainly they can take those to the Wildlife Commission, and, you know, regulations are voted upon monthly at a Wildlife Commission level, and as you alluded to, the 5-year season structure, that occurs every 5 years, and some of those issues can certainly be tied into that, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Answers your question.
Okay. Because I guess what I'm saying, if somebody comes to a meeting and brings up a really good point, is it possible that you could almost see something, you know, reacted to by Colorado Parks and Wildlife in that next year or following year, or is it always going to be probably 3 or 4 years out, even if it's something makes sense?
You know, you get the opportunity to directly interface with game wardens, with area wildlife managers, and yes, I think if your issue has potential solutions, those discussions at that level can lead to, you know, whether it's regulation change or, you know, we get a wide variety of issues that folks want to discuss. And, you know, we do the best we can to stay on topic, but I think everybody's opinion is valued and important, and certainly I'd encourage, again, people to come.
Right. Again, you're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley. Steve Hilde is our guest, and Steve is an elected delegate with the Northeast Region Sportsman's Roundtable. They have 3 or 4 meetings a year, as he says, but the one we'd like to really get a good turnout for is Thursday, June the 2nd. It's from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Again, this is going to be held at Colorado Youth Outdoors in Swift Ponds, and that's at 4927 East County Road 36 in Fort Collins. And I think my schedule is going to be clear, so I may even try to run up there and just to get involved in this myself to learn more. But now, a few things that you sent me that you said are going to be some of the topics, and I'd like to just touch on these for a minute. But one is introduction to Colorado Youth Outdoor Programs and Facilities. So tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so Colorado, if you look at things like hunter retention, hunter recruitment, Colorado Youth Outdoors, it's a wonderful organization. I'd encourage people to go out to their website, which is coloradoyo.org. And what they're doing is they have family programs where a youth and an adult, whether it be a parent or a guardian or a sponsor, can enroll and be taught the basics. They have several programs, but they introduce you to archery, to fly tying, fly fishing, spin casting, trap shooting. It's all outdoor activities. And again, it gets those kids out and involved in those things, and at the same time creates that bond with a parent or a guardian. So it's a wonderful program, and Bob Hewson and his brother created this program, and they are going to be at this meeting, and we've asked him to give us an update on how things are going, and certainly it would give folks an opportunity to volunteer, because I'm sure that these guys need help.
Sure. No, and that's a great point. And you know, I mean, that's something that ever since we started our show 4 years ago, that we are certainly behind, is getting our youth out there in the outdoors and hunting, fishing, whatever the case may be, just getting them outdoors, because that automatically, you know, if a parent's available there, can give that bonding time. If not, maybe it's a mentor that can really mean something in that young person's life. And so it is a great thing to get our youth out there. Now, another topic is briefing on Wildlife Council efforts and future plans. So what were some things that might entail?
Well, we've also asked Bob Hewson, who is one of the board members on Colorado Youth Outdoors. He also serves on the Wildlife Council, and the Wildlife Council is charged with the 75-cent surcharge that we all pay on our licenses, and which in the past has gone towards the media campaign for the Hug a Hunter program.
Right.
And that's been very successful in terms of getting the word out about how beneficial our license dollars are, and how as hunters and fishermen, we're conserving wildlife. And, you know, we've run that campaign for quite some time, and I've asked Bob to just give an update on, you know, what's next, what's coming, what are the future plans, what the successes have been in the past, because they've really created a wonderful brand with that program, and people recognize now the benefit of hunting and fishing just based on those commercials.
Right. And then, and this is, I think, the main point that you sent to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, our committee there. Overview of Rabbit Mountain, which is Boulder County Open Space Elk Management. And if I remember correctly, you're saying there's kind of about 200 head count of elk in that area that just kind of hangs there.
Yeah, and right now, you know, the issue is As hunters and fishermen, our license dollars go towards paying game damage claims. And in this area around Rabbit Mountain, there have been, I think it was in excess of $200,000 paid out to landowners for game damage caused by this elk herd. They're raiding cornfields. They're you know, there's an overabundance of them for this particular parcel. It's a refuge because Boulder County currently does not allow hunting on their open space. And, you know, these animals are not migrating as we might see in some other herds. And so I don't know exactly what the right solution is there. Mm-hmm. I have my personal opinions. I'd love to see hunting available on open space lands.
Sure.
But currently Boulder does not allow that on any of their open space lands. And I believe they own nearly 100,000 acres in Boulder County, very large landowner. And they're very well funded from tax dollars that go to pay towards open space. And certainly hunters and fishermen contribute to those tax dollars. So it should be a very informative discussion. I don't know what the right answer is here in this scenario, but obviously I'd love to have guys aware of it, especially Boulder County residents, and, you know, continue to work with the Open Space Board, the county commissioners, to come up with some potential solution, whether it's hunting or, you know, whether it's just not paying $200,000 in game damage claims, which could be going towards research on disease or acquiring more public access. There's many good things that those funds could be devoted to. So,
well, good. Do you have time to stay with us for one more segment?
I do.
Okay. All right. Again, you're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley. Steve Hilde is our guest. We're going to come back and talk about this a little bit more and maybe just bounce some things off each other and see if we can come up with a good solution for this over Rabbit Mountain in the Boulder County open space. So here we got 200 elk over there. And, really causing more harm than good over there. So what do you do? And then we've got other couple of topics here. Thursday, June 2nd, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. This is the Northeast Region Sportsman's Roundtable meeting. It's going to be held at the Colorado Youth Outdoors in Swift Ponds at 4927 East County Road 36 in Fort Collins. We'd love to see you there. I'm going to make a note and do all I can to be there as well. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
In a flash, from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon, the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault, after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of Flesh Law. Flesh Law will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries.
Call 303-806-8886 for the Flesh Law Firm. 303-806-8886. Online, go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Flesh Law, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
Do you or your dog enjoy hiking, hunting, and the outdoors? If so, please listen to this message. Do you know that each year in the United States, over 1 million animal bite wounds are reported? Now there's help at the Snake Avoidance Clinic, May 21st and 22nd, presented by the Rocky Mountain Sporting Dog Club. May 21st from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Cabela's Lone Tree location. Sunday, May 22nd from 8 to 4 at the Cabela's in Thornton. Your dog will receive training with a proven method of snake proofing and avoidance. Cost is only $60 per dog. Call now, 303-699-7199. That's 303-699-7199. Or visit their website, rmtsdc.com.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Talk radio that matters. Midday Matters, hosted by Steve Curtis. Weekdays at 11 on KLZ 560 and 100.7 FM. KLZ, the source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Charlie Grimes, our maestro back there playing the tunes for us this morning. Thanks for joining us. Again, this is Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley. My guest today, Steve Hilde. Steve is an elected delegate, if you're just joining us, for the Northeast Region Sportsman's Roundtable. And they have three or four meetings a year, and boy, they really want to get our outdoors folks out there. So, you know, whether you're a fisherman, hunter, maybe just an outdoor person, we'd love to have you there. And again, you know, that's the only way, really, Steve, you get some maybe new ideas and input. If everybody, all the same few people just showed up, probably not much would get accomplished. But if you get some new blood in there, so to speak, somebody may come up with a great new idea and concept for some area that can help us.
Yeah, we're certainly all volunteers, and, you know, volunteers get worn out, and it's great to see new people come out and get engaged.
Sure. Now, before the break, we're talking about this area over in Boulder, and this is a Boulder County open space, Rabbit Mountain, and from what Steve's telling us, there's a couple of hundred elk over there that have just caused a lot of damage to the habitat there and to the tune of a couple of $100,000. So my thing would be, let's turn the $200,000 cost into income and, you know, sell some licenses, and whether that be with maybe a guy, if they don't, you know, they could certainly distribute out the licenses over throughout all the, you know, archery, muzzle loading, rifle, whatever. But I mean, they could really turn that into a big plus on the money side instead of costing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I'm a practical person, and there seems to be some really practical solutions in my mind, and certainly I hope we get there. The last discussion that was held with the Board of Parks and Open Space in Boulder, you know, there was some concerns around hunting, and certainly there's folks in Boulder who, you know, aren't advocates of it, but
sure.
Hopefully there's a practical solution, and hopefully the Parks Board and the county commissioners will consider all of the tools that are out there in their toolbox to use and come to a practical solution that works for everybody. And, you know, public participation in that process is going to help.
Only Boulder cops get to shoot elk, right? Did I say that out loud?
I can't go there
okay,
on that one.
No problem. But, you know, I mean, it is, and if you get sensible people to understand that hunting is conservation, and, man,
yeah.
It's hard to convince those groups out there that just think it's all about killing, but they're the ones wearing the leather boots and, you know, eating meat and doing all the things too, you know what I mean? So, boy, it gets to be confusing sometimes to try to get them to understand that we love animals too, and if we can take care and manage those herds, then you're not in a situation like this.
Yeah, and science-based wildlife management and habitat conservation should be at the top of everyone's mind here, and practical solutions beyond that. I think everybody should come together around that. So
right. And, you know, there's got to be other states that run into things like this, too. So it would seem like they could pull from some of that knowledge of what's worked and what hadn't worked in some of the other states and even use that as some type of basis.
Yeah, it's not a unique situation to Rabbit Mountain. There are other parts of Colorado where you run into a private land situation and one particular parcel may harbor the elk and then, you know, neighbors receive damage, and certainly that's going on here. And there is a program within Parks and Wildlife called the Habitat Partnership Program, and those folks can use, you know, hunt coordinators, and there are other tools out there certainly that are available in that scenario as well. So
right. And then when you have these, and like I say, you do want to stay on topic and stuff, but if other people bring up different types of topics? I mean, is it something where you kind of hand out an agenda in these meetings and you try to stick to that, or is there any open time for any discussion on any other things people want to bring up?
No, following the three items that you mentioned, there is another topic on there, and then there will be open discussion, you know, for concerns from the crowd, and I think we've allotted a half hour to that, and certainly some of these meetings run over based upon how many folks attend, and we want that open discussion time as well, so.
Sure. And, you know, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and just reading on something here, a lot of times people don't realize really, you know, even what the agency's all about. And so here's just something here. It says Colorado Parks and Wildlife is an enterprise agency relying primarily on license sales, state park fees, and registration fees to support its operations, which include 42 state parks and more than 350 wildlife areas covering approximately 900,000 acres, management of fishing and hunting wildlife watching, camping, motorized and non-motorized trails, boating, and outdoor education. And Colorado Parks and Wildlife contributes approximately $6 billion in total economic impact annually throughout Colorado. So when people want to talk about, you know, what the outdoorswoman does with their money and the licensings, I mean, we put a lot of money into conservation.
We do. And, you know, one thing as well that the Parks and Wildlife does is they lease, I think it's nearly 500,000 acres of state trust lands. And so, you know, when you're having these discussions with non-hunters, that's a contribution towards Colorado schools. And not too many people really recognize that. Not only do hunters and fishermen care for habitat and for the wildlife, but we're also contributing to our schools.
Right, so. Right. And like I say, you know, big thing with all this is the youth. And again, as you mentioned earlier, and that was ColoradoYO.org?
Yes.
Was that website?
Org.
Okay. And
that'll tell
you more about the Colorado Youth Outdoors programs. And maybe you are in a position where you could volunteer, be a mentor to a young person. I'm telling you, out of all the groups out there, I don't know of anybody that says we don't need any more volunteers to help. As you said, this Bob Houston sounds like a pretty busy guy on a couple of deals with you. So
yep.
I'm sure he could use the help in getting other adults to come out there and be a mentor.
Yes. You know, Bob can certainly provide more details. If you look at his website, I mean, they have run an amazing number of parents and kids through their program. And I know at one point they were looking to grow statewide because they are linked into schools as well to get school youth involvement. And I'm sure everybody who comes out will be amazed at what they're doing. So.
Right. Again, Steve Hilde has been our guest. He's an elected delegate with the Northeast Region for the Sportsman's Roundtable. And June 2nd, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., there's going to be a meeting. And boy, you say you can see up to 100 people?
Yes, we
okay.
can.
So come on. We would love to see you there and meet you there. And you know what? It doesn't do any of us any good to sit and complain about different things, whether it be an election or whether it be something like this, if you don't go out and vote and make your voice heard. And so this is a chance where you can come out and meet with other outdoor people. And I think we're all kind of hopefully working for the same thing, is to keep our hunting heritage out there, trying to keep costs, you know, good for everybody, and to keep our wildlife in a healthy population. So I think we're all in the same boat here. But this is a great chance for you to come Thursday, June 2nd, again, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. It's going to be held at the Colorado Youth Outdoors and Swift Ponds, and that's located, again, at 4927 East County Road 36 in Fort Collins. Last couple of minutes here, I just want to throw something at you. And, you know, unfortunately, there's quite a few hunting accidents, you know, each year. And one we were involved in with an attorney that just called us, asked me to come down and visit with him a little bit about, was a young man that was shot. He and his dad were archery hunters, but they were hunting in muzzleloading season, so they weren't wearing orange. Of course, the muzzleloader was, and a gentleman with a muzzleloader, you know, shot this boy in the chest with a 50 caliber muzzleloader. And so it kind of brings up the point, while you have the right not to wear orange, Don't you think, boy, it's pretty smart for people to wear orange if they're going to be on public land and hunting, no matter what tag they may be holding or what season they may be hunting in?
Well, you know, I've been around quite a few discussions on that on the internet. I've read quite a few discussions, and I don't believe archers are required to wear orange. I think perhaps the muzzleloaders are because right. they're using the firearm, and I don't know how true it is, but I had heard that maybe the unfortunate party in this incident, tragic incident, was calling.
Yeah, and both of them. The man, the muzzleloader yeah. guy, he was bugling. The dad and the kid were cow calling. And
yeah.
so the muzzle loading, I read the report, the muzzle loading guy, and I think the guy was from Wisconsin, had been here hunting like 5 years in a row. So, you know, I don't know when yeah. I say experienced hunter, he had been here hunting. And he said, boy, he saw movement and he thought what he saw was the shoulder of an elk. And he just kind of drew down the muzzle loader down on the bush where he thought the shoulder would be and pulled the trigger and shot that little boy in the chest. So, needless yeah, to say, you know, can't take that shot.
You know, I think I've heard on a number of occasions, statistics show hunting to be a very, very safe activity.
No, you're right.
It's just a very tragic incident. And, you know, I personally, I wouldn't favor archers being required to wear orange. I do think it's safe for firearm shooters, you know, and, mm-hmm. and my heart just goes out to this family. I mean,
no, absolutely. And, I mean, the gentleman yeah. that pull the trigger. I mean, they say he's got to live with that. He got 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
And I mean, so
yep.
certainly no winners in that. And like I say, you hate for guys to be required to do something when their license doesn't call for it. But I just, you know, as a safety rule, one of the very first rules in our safety is knowing your target and beyond. And this gentleman just
yeah.
made a bad call, you know, so.
And it's certainly everyone's option. If they wish to wear orange,
sure.
there's nothing to prohibit that. And I would certainly encourage everyone to, if they want to wear orange, to do so. And, you know, one thing.
Or now pink, right? Now you can wear pink.
Exactly right. And, you know, one thing at these meetings and so forth, I think we need to note, and we all need to counter blessings too, because we have such a tremendous resource being residents of
sure.
Colorado. I mean, we have 10 big game species that we can hunt. We have ample small game to hunt. We have wonderful fishing. And, you know, when you come out to these sorts of meetings, you certainly bring your issues, but I always like to say thanks to all the public servants within Parks and Wildlife who are out there. You know, the regional manager in the Northeast, he's been a public servant for 35 years.
Wow.
I'm amazed and thankful and blessed every day at what these people are doing for us, too.
Absolutely. So. And, well, Steve, look, I'm going to look forward to meeting you. I'm going to come to that meeting June 2nd, so I'll look forward to meeting you. And thanks for being with us today again. June 2nd, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. This is the Northeast Region Sportsman's Roundtable meeting. It's going to be held Colorado Youth Outdoors and Swift Ponds at 4927 East County Road 36 in Fort Collins. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
For over 30 years, Academy Roofing has been serving Colorado with great customer service. Let me tell you why I am so happy that I chose Academy Roofing. They were efficient, on time, and their cleanup was perfect after my roof was completed. As an A-plus member with the Better Business Bureau, Academy Roofing brings the knowledge and experience you need in a roofing contractor. Call now, 303-360-0708, or visit academyroofinginc.com. At Academy Roofing, your roof is our reputation. Academy Roofing is an official registered company of HaystackHelp.com.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesch for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorsports.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store, family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 67 in Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
The Laura Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 8 on AM 560 and 100.7 FM. KLZ, The Source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley. Again, thanks for so much for joining us. Yes Bay Lodge, yesbay.com, 907-225-7906. And if you're just joining our show today, actually got to finally meet Ryan this last January at our International Sportsman's Expo, and he came highly recommended to me. And, you know, when we're very careful about those. We just say, hey, this is a great place, and we endorse them and all. Let everybody know, and just being clear with everybody, we haven't been there yet, but all the different testimonials that I have heard have just been outstanding. And as Ryan just mentioned, five-star accommodations, and we're going to get into that here in just a minute in the second segment. But if you're looking for something a little different, maybe you have been a lot of different places, maybe you've even been to Alaska before, I promise you this will be like no other experience. And at the special Ryan just offered us at $26.95, it's a four-night, three-day, all-inclusive trip. It includes everything. Now, I guess we still have to buy our own license. I want to be clear. Correct, Ryan?
That is going to be not include your fishing license. That right. is a $55 per person, and that we will take care of that at the lodge upon arrival for all of our guests.
Okay. But all the fish processing, all that's included, and so a terrific, terrific value. I was just at a Safari Club international banquet here in Colorado Springs on Saturday, and I saw some trips in Alaska go for $8,000 or $9,000. So $26.95. Again, you can go to yesbay.com for more information. The number 907-225-7906. So now, let's talk about, we'll just take from Denver here. So we fly from Denver here to Anchorage and then to Ketchikan, and then what happens after that?
Well, actually, Scott, you're going to be flying from Denver into Seattle.
And
Seattle directly into Ketchikan.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of people have that conception of that. They got to travel all the way north to Anchorage and then fly all the way back down. But it's a 90-minute flight from Seattle, so it's a very easy, accessible journey. When we were there in January, I believe it was about $550, $600 round trip with Alaska Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is very, very doable and, once again, accessible for a lot of our clientele and many of our new guests.
And you know what? We were fortunate enough to find less than $400 round trip from Denver for our trip.
Yeah, well, you know what? We actually just had a route for Delta Airlines open up last year. So there are a few options for our guests to be able to take different airlines. A lot of people have the Delta miles, let alone the Alaska Airline miles, and a lot of those get utilized for these trips.
Sure, sure. So we fly into Ketchikan there, and then that's where you'll pick us up. And
that's correct.
Then we get another, what I think is an awesome flight, because that's in a float plane, you say.
Yeah. We operate with Pirate Airworks, which is our private company and our personal planes. So, when the guests arrive there at the airport, we have our pilots and our planes all staged there. They're helping them get their bag, bringing them down to the plane, and then they fly out from the airport directly. If you're familiar with Ketchikan, we actually are on a separate island from the airport. So a lot of guests who come in, they have to take the water ferry taxi from the airport side to the Ketchikan side, which can be which can be a hassle at times. So we eliminate that altogether, the 20-minute float plane ride, and it's truly, truly when the adventure begins.
Absolutely. Now, you know, of course, we're coming there to fish and all that, but what's just some of the other wildlife, maybe, for those that may or just really want to take some great pictures and all that? What are some of the other wildlife you may see while visiting Yess Bay?
Well, you know, being where we're located at, we are on the mainland of Alaska. So you have the chance of seeing brown and black bears, wolf, black-tailed deer, marten, mink, otter. And then when you're out in the channel fishing, you have the chance to see humpbacks, grays, and always the popular orca whale, which are always, always fun to see. We actually have a resident whale. We call him Crooked Finn, and he's been in our area for 25 years. So the wildlife and the chance to see these kinds of animals are quite abundant out there for you.
Wow, that sounds so amazing. And then what about other outside activities? I mean, I know we're not at Disneyland or something, you know, we're your remote area there, but what are some other activities that may be available if someone wants to get into something else?
No, I get asked that a lot, especially for the husband and wife guests. They want to experience a little bit more being a first time to Alaska. So I'm able to offer them hikes up to natural hot springs in a deep remote forest. Always, always a great excursion.
Wow.
And then also I have a salmon hatchery in our area. And that would entail me taking you over to the hatchery, docking up. You're walking about the salmon hatchery and seeing how they produce these natural runs back to the area. And also, they have a bear watching view, a bear watching area, where you have the chance to see 1 to 20 black bears at a time feeding on chum salmon. And the photographic opportunities there are just insane.
Wow, that sounds so cool. Now, what about, do you ever have people that maybe, you know, dad wants to bring a couple of boys with him and things like that? So what about for children? Are you set up really for kids?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And with that being said, you know, on top of that show special package, we honor any of the youngins from, oh gosh, 4 to 7 years old at no cost. And so I have a lot of fathers come up and they're concerned with, you know, the packages for the children and so forth. And so we offer youth rates, but at the same time set up to be able to accommodate the youngins. Always love to see them catch, have
sure.
a little spinner rod, go down to the dock and catch their first little trout, you know, on their own. And you literally see it change within their eye, that glint of them becoming a fisherman. You can see it start right then and there.
I bet. And boy, nothing more than we need to keep our kids involved in the outdoors, whether that be hunting, fishing, whatever. Just get them out of the house and get them. And, you know, boy, the memories that will live with that child forever.
Oh, God. And, you know, speaking, you know, on Gary's behalf, you know, I've seen his daughter and his son, and I believe it's going to be his other daughter that's coming up this year. But to see those kids fish and catch 20, 25-pound, 30-pound king salmon, your halibut, your rockfish. I mean, to have the smile on their face when they come back in after that day of fishing is priceless.
Right. Our guest is Ryan Martinez. Ryan's the general manager of Yess Bay Lodge. Check out the website. Again, great website. There's a video on there you need to watch. $26.95, 4-night, 3-day, all-inclusive. Just about the only thing you have to do is get a license for $55, which you can do that right there. But all the fishing equipment there is there for you, the fish processing, all of that for $26.95. And again, it's yesbay.com. You can call 907-225-7906. Now, when we talk about the fish processing, what's involved in how's that in getting back? I mean, we freeze it there, and then what's the usual charges then on getting that back with our luggage?
Well, what we're going to do is every day you come in off of that boat, we're going to have the fish processed right before your eyes. It's all vacuum sealed where the bag is labeled with your last name, dated, and the species type. And then it'll be put into our flash freezer where it's flash frozen through in and through out. And then come to the end of your stay, we'll be packaging that into a wet lock airline approved box. And depending on how many boxes you have, we're going to weigh each box to a 50-pound weight to where the guest isn't having any overweight charges when they get to the airport.
Sure.
And you're just going to treat that box as a check-in luggage, where it's cool. $25 with Alaskan Airlines for the first two pieces of luggage.
Okay. Man, I tell you, that's a great value. And, boy, just to think of all the fresh fish, I mean, that's awesome. It really is. Now, talk about some of the, I don't know if records would be the right deal. Talk about some of the larger fish you caught and what's been some of the great experiences.
Well, this last year, and it always seems to happen on 4th of July. It's just the magical day when we see the trophies come out. Last year, on 4th of July, we had a 45.8-pound king salmon. Now, these are saltwater salmon that you're catching from the boat, so you can imagine the the brightness of this fish. They get the name Cromer for a reason. They are just gleaming coming from the open ocean and very aggressive and very active on the end of the pole. And then the year before that, on 4th of July, once again, we had a 208-pound halibut, literally at the mouth of our bay, which is a five-minute destination from the lodge. So you can imagine the types of fishing, that the big fish that we get on the inside area there. A lot of people have that question, if we do get those big fish on the inside waters and not having to travel to the outside. So it's there's some trophies out there to be caught. And then also you have a good 15-16-pound yellow eye being caught yearly. And that is a slob of a rockfish.
Well, I tell you, we're looking forward to in July. Now, I think we're coming out July 25th. What are some of the species that will be available then quite a bit?
Well, you're going to be getting into the heart of the spawning halibut season. That's when they move up into the shallows to start doing their spawning, and you tend to see a peak of halibut bite happen during that time, along with your king fishing, your pinks, your chums, your rock fishing, crabbing, shrimping, as well world-class trout fishing for the freshwater during that time, because the salmon haven't hit the river yet, so you still have the whole variety to fish for, from the freshwater to the saltwater.
Well, Ryan, I tell you, we're excited, and we are equally as excited to have you as a partner with us here on Sportsman of Colorado, and we will certainly do all we can to get the word out. And then I'm sure once we return from that, it will be even a greater testimonial. But like I say, I certainly trust all the people of Dr. Gary Rads, my dentist that's been there several times, and others that we've heard just tremendous, tremendous things about Yes Bay Lodge. So we look forward to it. And again, thank you for your time today, and thank you for your partnership with Sportsman of Colorado.
Thank you. We're looking forward to hosting you guys this summer, and looking forward to speaking to the people of Colorado about Yes Bay.
All right. That's Ryan Martinez, Yes Bay Lodge, yesbay.com, 907-225-7906, 907-225-7906, 2695, four-night, three-day, all-inclusive, all your fishing, fish processing, your lodging, your transportation, getting you from Ketchikan to the lodge, all that's covered in that for $26.95, but you got to call now, 907-225-7906. This is Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for a place you're always welcome, let me recommend Kiowa Creek Sporting Club. Hi, this is Scott Watley. Just 20 miles east of Denver, Kiowa Creek has it all. A professionally designed sporting clays course, archery range, and year-round dog training fields. Be sure and leave time to relax in the spacious clubhouse. For all Kiowa Creek Sporting Club has to offer, call 303-644-4627 or check out their website, kiowacreek.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado, and with your one-year membership purchase, you'll receive 100 free sporting clays. Call 303-644-4627. That's 303-644-4627. Kiowa Creek Sporting Club is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
In a flash, from out of nowhere, your whole life can change forever. It happened so quickly, nobody saw it coming. Soon, the medical bills will be arriving.
Will insurance cover your injuries? Does the other driver have assets? Should I sue?
It was his fault, after all. After an accident, you need to call the law offices of Flesh Law. Flesh Law will never settle until you are fully compensated for your injuries.
Call 303 303-
806-8886 for the Flesh Law Firm. 303-806-8886. Online, go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Flesh Law, the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you are lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and today only receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Wake up with Steve Curtis. Weekday mornings at 6 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman Colorado. My name is Scott Whiteley. Again, thanks for joining us today. We're going to go to the phones now and talk to Denny Behrens. He's the regional director in Colorado for Big Game Forever. And I really just learned about this organization recently. Tina Francone, a friend of our show and great person, sent me Denny's information. I believe she was at a meeting with Denny recently, and boy, after she told me a little bit about this, I said, I got to get him on. So, Denny, thanks for being with us today on Sportsman of Colorado.
You bet. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So, boy, you know, and I know we're going to have, as I told you before we started today's show, we're going to have to do this again and take much longer to really get through all this, but I at least wanted to give our listeners an introduction, you know, a little bit more about the organization. So take us back just a little bit about yourself and your background and then how you got involved with this organization.
Okay. I've been involved in wildlife politics here in Colorado since 1986, and I was with the Colorado Bow Hunters at that time. And then in 98, I became the chairman of the Colorado Mule Deer Association and was with them up till May of last year. And that's when Ryan Benson from Big Game Forever had called me and asked me and said, look, we've got big issues in Colorado pertaining wolves and sage grouse. And we worked with Ryan for 3 years prior to Ryan calling me. And we've been back in Washington a couple of times together and working on sage grouse and wolf issues. And in May of last year, Ryan said, hey, we got to have somebody full-time in Colorado. So he hired me over here, and we've been working on the wolf issue and the sage grouse issue ever since.
Okay. While both are important, let's start with the sage grouse issue. What can you tell us a bit about, you know, what is the issue and then what you guys are trying to do?
Okay. The greater sage grouse issue affects about 4% of Colorado's lands. And there are five major states that are involved in the sage grouse issue, in the greater sage grouse issue. One of the key things that most people don't understand is that there are five states that have military bases.
Mm-hmm.
And if the greater sage grouse were to be listed as threatened or endangered, then the training exercises for those military air bases for them to fly would be shut down up to about 6 months.
Wow.
And so it's very, very important that people understand that we need to maintain multiple use, which includes our military. And so there are a number of states that are involved in this particular issue. Not only the fact of grazing rights and development for oil and gas, but that military issue is a big one. Currently, we're working in Washington. We have a bill that's gone through the House that's going to be going over to the Senate, which is a bill that's attached to the National Defense Authorization Act.
And that particular sage-grouse bill will protect the states being able to manage sage-grouse for themselves for 10 years. And it keeps the feds from pushing more regulations mm-hmm. on federal lands and multiple use, and it allows the military bases to continue to operate.
Wow, that's great. Again, our guest today is Denny Behrens. He's the regional director in Colorado for Big Game Forever. You can check out the website, biggameforever.org. And I tell you, they've got a lot of different types of memberships that you can come on and be a part of this and help out, and every bit helps, whether you want to join up as a basic member for just $25. And they list all the different things that you get there for each level of membership. But a basic membership, as I just mentioned, is $25. You get an Eastman subscription with that. Then you can go up to $50 and get you a hat and a window decal and also that Eastman subscription. And then they go all the way up to $1,000, you know, for a lifetime member. And so this is a great way to help out. And again, you know, while certainly take all the lifetime members we can get, then it doesn't take long for $25 and $50 to add up, too, to help this out.
That's absolutely correct.
So now, the wolf issue, and boy, you know, certainly that's on all of our minds, you know, for elk hunters and all the different people here. So let's take the side of the other side right now that's wanting to get wolves in Colorado. What is their mindset and why they believe this is a good idea?
Well, a lot of people believe that the wolf is the Western icon. He's the mystical icon of the West. And, you know, when the feds introduced wolves into the ecosystem in Yellowstone back in 95, there were a lot of people that felt that the entire Rockies should be filled with wolves. And there are groups that are actually located here in Colorado that believe that there should be 1,000 wolves in Colorado.
Wow.
And that, when you start looking at those numbers and the effect and impacts that they have on big game populations, mm-hmm. livestock, and then one of the issues that people don't realize, and this is we do in our education program, is the fact that the wolves carry a number of diseases, and there's one of them that's really critical called the hydatidic disease, which is fatal to humans. And we are educating people about that. But you don't hear that from the other side.
Sure.
And they really want to, you know, they want to hear a wolf. And, you know, a lot of people like to hear that howl of the wolf. And they're already migrating into Colorado. There's no, you know, we're not building a wall like they're going to do on the Mexican border between us and Wyoming. But they're allowing wolves to migrate into Colorado, which that's fine. You know, the aspect is that just like any other predator, wolves need to be managed. And so when populations get to a point, then, you know, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is going to have to be able to manage the wolf just like the bear and the mountain lion.
Absolutely. And so what, you know, and I know Tina Francone, which I mentioned earlier, said you guys just had a meeting. Are there meetings around that people can come to learn more about this and learn, you know, really what all the issues are, and then, of course, then what they can do to help and be more involved in this?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the process of holding meetings all around the state, and we've got two that will be coming up pretty quick here, one in Boulder and also one over in Centennial. And one in Centennial will be over at the Centennial Gun Club. And we'll have those posted on our Colorado Facebook page, which is Big Game Forever Colorado. And they can go to that Facebook page, and they'll be able to see where those are posted.
Okay, great. And then, and how long do those meetings usually last?
They last about an hour.
Okay.
We do about a 40-minute PowerPoint presentation. And then a lot of the people have questions.
Sure.
And so we're able to dialogue with them. You know, they want to know more about population diminishing in Montana and Idaho and Wyoming. They want to know, you know, what can we do here in Colorado? And so we're able to, you know, dialogue with them and help them to understand that, you know, sportsmen need to get involved. And, you know, our peers from Montana and Idaho and Wyoming have been telling us for years that Colorado needs to get ahead of the curve on the wolf issue.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing.
Absolutely. Again, that website is biggameforever.org. But check out also the Facebook page you just mentioned. Again, that's at Big Game Forever Colorado, and that's the Facebook page. Go on there and like that, and then you can stay involved and knowing all about the meetings and everything. And be sure, and, you know, man, we're going to stay in closer touch, and then, you know, we will sure promote those meetings and certainly try to attend all we can, too, so we can come more knowledgeable about it and be able to explain all that to our listeners. Now, again, for people that want to get involved is a main way, of course, come to the meetings so you know what you're talking about. I think that's very important. But come to the meetings where you have the knowledge. But then also, as I mentioned earlier, some of these different levels of membership, boy, this takes a lot of money, and the other side usually has no shortage of finances. So we need everybody to chip in on this and help.
You bet. You know, we've launched a radio campaign on the Western Slope. And so that's covering the Western Slope right now. We're looking at doing some billboard campaigns. But as we move to the Front Range, and, of course, that's where the populace of the people are, that's where most of the hunters are, you know, we need to be able to communicate with sportsmen. They need to understand that they need to get involved. And if we're going to educate the public, especially on the Front Range, because it's our main voting block is on the Front Range, then we need to be able to buy radio ads. We need to be able to do education and so that people truly understand the wolf issue.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I happen to know some guys in radio, so we can get you hooked up with some radio ads, okay?
That's
yeah.
Good to me.
Yeah. No, and I tell you, you know, one thing great about it, you know, boy, KLZ, and now we're on several other stations, 100.7 FM here in Denver, 95.3 in Denver, 1220 AM in Denver. But, you know, we reach all the way up to Casper and Craig, Trinidad, and Garden City, Kansas, going east. So we got a big signal and great listeners and loyal listeners. So you and I will get together and see what we can put together, and we'll sure do all we can to help you. So then again, we'll do this again, and we will have many more conversations in the future. But thanks for coming on a little bit today, telling us a little bit about this, and we will sure try to do all we can to help as well.
Well, thank you so much, and it's been a privilege talking to you.
All right. I look forward to meeting you in person. Again, that's Denny Behrens. He's the regional director here in Colorado. Check out the website, biggameforever.org. Also, go to their Facebook page for Colorado. That's Big Game Forever Colorado. Go on and like that. Stay in tune with them so you can know what's going on. And then check out the memberships. And just real quick, they got a basic one for $25. Look, you can all do that. Cut out three Starbucks a week. You can do that. So go do that, $25. They got a supporter level for $50, a bronze one for $100, a silver one for $250, and with that, boy, you get a lot. Big Game Forever knife, bone, saw combo, a Big Game Forever jacket and window decal and a hat, and also that Eastman subscription. And then also life members, we'll take all those we can get. That's just $1,000. And again, you get all those different things with the bone and saw combo, the King's jacket, an outdoor kit, and a lifetime award. So go on and do that and help them out. Thanks for joining us today for Sportsman of Colorado. Be sure and check out our website, sportsmanofcolorado.com. And if you ever have any suggestions for the show or questions, shoot me an email, scott@sportsmanofcolorado.com. Hope everyone has a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.